Maybe you've seen the political demonstrations in Cincinnati with crowds in Washington Park and Fountain Square. Residents of smaller communities have been voicing their discontent, too. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about these political efforts in small towns and what questions residents want to ask their elected leaders are Medina County Indivisible organizer Mosey Welch. Welcome, Mosey.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate your being here. Lorain County Rising organizer Lily Sandler. Thanks for being here, Lily.
Thank you so much for having me.
And University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, David Niven. Welcome back, David.
Always a pleasure, Lucy.
We invited Congressman Max Miller, who represents Medina, and Congressman Bob Latta, who represents Lorain, to join the discussion, but did not get a response from them. Mosey, community organizers in small towns have been urging their representatives to hold town halls. And after not showing up for a town hall in Medina, Congressman Max Miller did hold a telephone town hall earlier this week. Did you attend that? What'd you think of that?
The telephone town hall?
Correct.
Yes, I did attend, as did many of our members. It was started late, and there was a lot of confusion. The calls were screened, and a lot of people's questions did not get answered. And we feel that if you're going to have a town hall, it should be in public, and people's actual concerns should be presented, and there should be answers that aren't canned.
Hmm. David, are we seeing more protests and town hall meetings in small towns during this second Trump administration?
Well, I do think there's been a much more vigorous response, in large measure due to the scope of what the administration has been up to and the scope of its targets. You know, when you start talking about veterans benefits and Social Security, you know, in many small communities, you're talking about not just, you know, the lifeblood of a community, but you're talking about places where the average resident is a little bit older than, you know, than is the case across the state. And folks are just very directly affected when you start talking about these things.
And David, how does that compare to President Trump's first term in terms of just the political activity you're seeing?
Well, I think it's broader, and you've seen this across the nation with the handful of Republicans in Congress who really have done fully public town halls, not, as Mosey was just saying, you know, controlled telephone town halls where the questions are screened. You've seen folks, lifelong Republicans, come out and not just, you know, offer a disagreement, but demonstrate the vehemence of their fears and their anger. And, you know, I think you've seen a lot of members of Congress get scared by the images that just demonstrate folks who are portraying them not only as out of touch, but as ineffective. You know, if you can't stand up for us now, what are you in this office for?
Hmm. Lily, I know your neighbors in Lorain have been trying to get your elected leaders to hold town halls. What has the response been that you all have gotten?
We haven't really gotten a response. We both sent letters to our congressman. We called him and we tried to hand deliver an invitation to one of his district offices, the one that is in Lorain County in Elyria. And we were displeased to find out that they aren't staffing that office anymore. There was a sign on the door directing us to go to the Bowling Green office, which is over an hour from the Elyria office. And so we never got a response to our invitation, but we went ahead with the town hall anyway.
And did you have kind of an empty chair representing your congressman? How did you handle that?
We did. We had, because, you know, up until the last minute, there were folks in our organizing committee who for whom hope sprang eternal. And they kept saying, well, maybe he'll come, maybe he'll come. And so we did have a spot for him. We had a microphone. We had a label with his name on it so that if he did come, we would direct all of the questions to him. In his absence, we had put together a panel of experts to speak to issues that are very important to the members of his congressional district. And in his absence, we asked them questions, and the constituents asked them questions, and they spoke to those different issues.
Hmm. And we're going to get into some of those big concerns and the questions that you all would like answered. We're talking about political demonstrations in small towns and the questions that residents have for their elected officials. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. David, I'm sure you've seen some of the national media attention that some of these demonstrations and protests have gotten, kind of comparing all of this to the Tea Party protests in 2009. What do you think? How does all this activity compare to what happened in 2009?
Well, the similar aspect of it is kind of the political storm, you know, a moment where people's attention is focused and where, you know, they're looking for a way to be heard in that moment. What's different, I think, very significantly, is that was so rigidly ideological. That was so clearly coming just from the right and from a particular, you know, branch of the right. Where this, you know, in an odd way, Trump has unified the nation in alarm about some sort of core responsibilities of government and core promises of government. So I think one of the things that's really notable at the town halls that have occurred, you're seeing, you know, in Iowa, Senator Chuck Grassley being confronted by lifelong Republicans saying, you know, they voted for him, you know, to do what was right, and that, you know, he seems to be doing nothing at all. So I think that's where one big difference is, that, you know, the kind of normal political lines don't necessarily apply. And we're seeing, obviously, an awful lot of Republicans out there. You know, Republicans get Social Security checks and Republicans get veterans benefits, and, you know, their livelihood and their lives are on the line as well. So, you know, this is perhaps as unified as we're going to see, especially rural America.
Mosey, what are the key messages and concerns that you would like to convey to these elected leaders? You mentioned that Congressman Max Miller, his telephone town hall was, you know, the questions were screened. You felt like the concerns, the real concerns, weren't really heard. What are the big concerns that you want to convey to him?
Well, I believe that the biggest concern is the silence about executive overreach, and that our elected officials are not answering the call of their constituents to stand up and say something and to protect healthcare and Social Security and Medicaid. We had such a variety of speakers. We had 50 people bring statements and speak at our town hall. Everything from a dentist who does Medicaid work in the schools in the state of Ohio and how that will be affected with cuts, somebody talking about cuts to the food bank and how that is going to affect small communities because the lines at the food banks are only getting bigger. People are worried about their benefits and Social Security. It's all kitchen table topics. These are things that food prices that regular citizens think about all the time. And to David's point, that it's not just the left or the right, we had a Republican show up who told us, he spoke at the town hall, and he said he probably did not agree with much of the policy that was being discussed. But what he has noticed is he no longer has access to his United States congressmen. They're not answering his calls. They won't open the door to him either. And he is frustrated by that. And his message was, our electeds need to be listening to the people.
Lily, what are the key concerns and messages in Lorain that you'd like to convey to these elected leaders if they'd come and meet with you?
Sure. Yeah. You know, a huge amount of overlap with what Mosey mentioned. Our congressional district is enormous. It stretches from the western Cleveland suburbs on Lake Erie in Lorain County all the way to the Indiana border through 12 counties. due to the gerrymandering that we've seen in our state for so many years. And so our district has, it has suburban, it has rural, it has small town, it has legacy cities like Lorain and Elyria. And so you're running the whole gamut of folks' concerns. The panel that we put together spoke to the topics of farming, of veterans affairs, veterans issues, immigration, and healthcare. And so those were the topics we focused on primarily in our town hall. However, the constituents brought other issues up as well. What Mosey said, this idea that there is this, these executive orders coming out at breakneck speed, many of which are unconstitutional, are being frozen by judges. People are just really concerned about what is happening to our democracy and what will continue to happen to our democracy if these actions go unchecked.
We're going to continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, the bank's development is 25 years old. So when will it be finished? This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about political demonstrations in small towns. My guests are Medina County Indivisible organizer Mosey Welch, Lorain County Rising organizer Lily Sandler, and University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science David Niven. You can join the conversation. Just call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We spoke before the break about this telephone town hall that Congressman Max Miller had. We have a comment from one Instagram user about that town hall who wrote, "I was on the call while I put my kids to bed. Many of the questions selected did not address some of the most pressing concerns of your constituents and were clearly chosen because they slanted more towards MAGA supporters or were easy questions to respond to using GOP canned responses." This obviously is directed to Congressman Miller's office. She writes, "I tried calling your offices this morning to try to get more information regarding my primary concerns, the security disaster and plans for HHS to expand to accommodate their new role enforcing IDEA. No one answered. I will try again. I would ask you, Congressman, to consider meeting some of these tough questions head on. I can easily Google your stance on the Second Amendment and women's sports." So, Mosey, does that kind of sum up some of the feelings that you heard from people who took part in that call? I know you said you didn't really feel like it answered some of the big questions on people's minds.
I think that absolutely addresses the concern about the telephone town hall. And what I would say is people are eager to talk to their United States representatives right now. The hours are limited at the office. If you can't go on Wednesdays between 12:30, last meeting starts at 3, you won't get in. And most of the time, there is no one answering the phone. You have to leave a message. So I think the telephone town hall was unsatisfying to many, many people who had concerns, just like the person that wrote in. Mm-hmm. And they want somebody to answer their question. And if you do get a meeting, you're probably talking to an intern or a lower level staff, a person, someone taking copious notes, but they cannot have a conversation with you about the issues that you're concerned about. And that is a problem.
We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Lori. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question?
Hi there. Well, my rep is Warren Davidson. He has been, appearing on Fox News, but he hasn't found time to have any town halls as far as I can see. I call and email his office pretty regularly, but don't get a response. So what is the best way for us to get these reps to come and speak with us?
Thank you, Lori. I think that's a great question. David, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the bottom line, and Mosey was talking about how hard it is to get to representatives' offices and actually get to speak to somebody. But the bottom line is That's the single most influential thing you can do. Show up to your members' local office and say, I want a town hall. I want to see the issues addressed. They take those visits very seriously because it took some effort on your part to get there. It took some dedication to, and, you know, as Mosey mentioned, the hours aren't necessarily great. The availability isn't necessarily great. And as I think Lily mentioned earlier, you know, that office might be quite inconvenient for folks. So that would be number one. Certainly, it helps every bit of media visibility, you know, calling the show and saying, I want to hear from my member of Congress helps. They need to know that people are watching because the default is to figure that they can do very little at all and that they will choose to do as little as they think they can get away with.
Thanks for that call and that question, Lori. We appreciate it. We now have Kent on the line. Thanks for calling, Kent. What's your question?
In an effort for cost cutting, there are several things that are eminently clear to us all right now. Our senators and congressmen are not doing our job. The people that are our actual civil servants in the government are. So how do we go about replacing the president, the vice president, the congressmen and senators, because they get paid more and they're, none of them have done their job for over a month.
Thank you for that thought, Kent. David, does this come down to the next election if people are dissatisfied with the work their Congress members of Congress are doing?
Well, certainly the short answer is it comes down to the next election, and the next election could be transformative if there's any change in party control of the House or the Senate. But let's be clear, it matters that these protests are taking place or these, you know, sort of mock town halls are taking place, that people are being heard. We can definitely see among members of Congress pushback when they feel like people are watching, you know, pushback when they feel like there's an accountability moment coming their way. So I don't think the answer is simply wait out the next 2 years. I think the answer is to be loud for the next 2 years. You might not get transformations, you know, out of that, but you could get just a little bit of pushback. And keep in mind, the Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate are razor thin. They can't afford to have even a handful of members of Congress pushing back on any of these declarations of executive power or any of these, you know, knife cuts to the budgets of various agencies and various programs.
Thank you, Kent. We appreciate your call. I want to ask you, Lily, people seem to be angry at Republican congressmen who are not meeting with them, who are not listening or answering their questions. Are people only angry with Republicans, or are they also angry with Democrats in Congress? Do you have thoughts on that, Lily?
Sure. Yeah. No, there are definite critiques of our Democratic members of Congress as well. I think they're fewer and further between. Because the Republicans are really high achievers when it comes to disappointing their constituents, especially here in Ohio and in other states where the gerrymandering is so severe that many people feel unrepresented, just given the district map that was carved out to gerrymander them into it. But yeah, there are definitely criticisms of our Democratic members of Congress, I'd say more so in the Senate than in the House. For example, with the continuing resolution of a couple weeks back, a lot of people were very upset with Senator Schumer and some of the other Democratic senators. So there is some equal opportunity critique there, but I would say much, much more so for the Republicans who are not standing up to President Trump and the unelected Elon Musk.
Mosey, what are you hearing in Medina County? Are you hearing people angry with Democrats also, in addition to being angry with Republicans?
Yes, I would echo what Lily had to say about especially being concerned when the Senate did not stand up and speak out and say, here's what we would like in exchange for voting for this. They voted for a continuing resolution. That was a grave concern. And I also think the people in Medina County We don't have a lot of Democrats here. We are a very red county. So we look to neighboring counties. And I know Amelia Sykes recently out of Summit County, she had a town hall. She's a United States representative, and people went to that. We look to Democrats in local areas to guide us. And also, I think people are very happy that Sherrod Brown is starting his think tank and is speaking somewhat publicly. I think one of the concerns that people are expressing here is we're not hearing from the top leadership in the Democratic Party and past office holders. We're not hearing them speak out about the executive overreach and the silence of our elected officials allowing some of these questionable and illegal activities to take place. We'd like more leadership from the top, I think.
David, in addition to your work as a professor, I know you have experience in politics. You worked for former Ohio Governor Ted Strickland, who's a Democrat. How would you rate congressional Democrats' response to the public's anger? And what more do you think they could be doing politically to make a difference?
Well, I think the concern is the passivity on the part of many Democrats and on the part of Democratic leadership. They may not have a lever that stops this, you know, machine, but they don't seem to be fighting it as hard as they possibly could. So I think that's the difficulty for the party and why, you know, the party for Democrats, you know, in theory, you should be benefiting when the other party is engaged in a kind of politically self-destructive set of policy positions. But Democrats aren't, because they're not getting any credit for the fight they're putting up. So what can they do? They can dramatize precisely what these decisions mean. And, you know, in the context of rural Ohio, you know, the proposals to privatize the post office would be devastating to the service, you know, provided in the smallest of small town Ohio. They could talk about what veterans cuts mean in very tangible ways, what Social Security cuts mean in very tangible ways. Even if they can't stop it, they should be holding a spotlight to what these decisions mean and do it in really human terms. And, you know, I think one of the failures of Democratic leadership in the Congress is for far too much, it's about them. No one in America wants to hear what Charles Schumer has to say about anything, but he could shine a spotlight on the people who are directly affected by these policy decisions and by the overreach.
Well, I've been talking with Medina County Indivisible organizer Mosey Welch, Lorain County Rising organizer Lily Sandler, and University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science David Niven. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Up next, the Banks development has been around for 25 years now. When will it be finished? This is Cincinnati Edition.